Good morning. Would you turn to 2 Kings chapter 25? This is so tangled, I can't get it untangled. Yeah, if you can do it, I can't. 2 Kings 25. Now, this is going to be the last message out of Kings. We've been in the Old Testament for several years now, and I think, Lord willing, next week we're going to start a study of 1 Corinthians. Thanks, Rich. I'd like to read the last few verses of this chapter, beginning in verse 27. And it came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, he was 18 years old when he surrendered to Nebuchadnezzar, and he's been in prison for 37 years. Now that's the setting of this passage of Scripture. He's been in prison for 37 years. In the 12th month and the 7th and 20th day of the month, that Evil-Merodach, he's the king of Babylon, he's the son of Nebuchadnezzar, in the year that he began to reign, did lift up the head of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, out of prison. It doesn't mean he cut his head off. It means that he brought him out of prison and he treated him favorably. He looked upon him with favor. Now look what else it says. Verse 28. And he spake kindly to him and set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon, and changed his prison garments, and he did eat bread continually before him all the days of his life, and his allowance was a continual allowance given to him of the king, a daily rate for every day, all the days of his life. Let's pray. Lord, we ask in Christ's name that you would meet with us and that you would speak in power to our hearts from your word and enable us to worship thy dear Son. Cause your gospel to be preached. Lord, we fear hearing the words and the opinions of a sinful man, but we want to hear your word. Lord, we confess our sins. We pray for forgiveness and cleansing. We pray that we might be found in thy Son. Now bless us for his sake. In his name we pray. Amen. Chapter 25 is a very dark chapter. It's about the end of Judah and Israel, and they're going to be brought under Nebuchadnezzar into Babylon for the next 70 years. And it's a very sad, it's a very dark chapter. Let's read it, but what I think is glorious, at the end of this chapter, we're given a type as the gospel, as you'll find anywhere in the Word of God, in this passage that I just read. But let's begin reading in chapter 24, verse 17, and the king of Babylon made Mattaniah, his father's brother, king in his stead, and changed his name to Zedekiah. This is the last king of Judah. And Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For through the anger of the Lord it came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah until he had cast them out from his presence. This is the Lord. Everything that was taking place was because of him. And this verse is letting us know that. He's the one who's casting Judah out of his presence. He's the one that is doing all this. Until he'd cast out from his presence that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. And it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the tenth month, in the tenth day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all his host, against Jerusalem, and pitched against it. And they built forts against it round about, and the city was besieged. Now that is when they cut off the water supply, they cut off the food, and you're left to starve to death. And the city was besieged into the 11th year of the king of Zedekiah, and on the ninth day of the fourth month, the famine prevailed in the city, and there was no bread for the people of the land. And the city was broken up, and all the men of war fled by night by the way of the gate between two walls, which is by the king's garden. Now the Chaldees were against the city round about, and the king went the way toward the plain. And the army of the Chaldees pursued after the king, that's the Babylonians, and overtook him in the plains of Jericho, and all his army were scattered from him. So they took the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon, to Riblah, and they gave judgment upon him. Now here's what happened to the king of Israel, or Judah, Zedekiah. And they slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and put out the eyes of Zedekiah, and bound him with fetters of brass, and carried him to Babylon. Now you think of the cruelty there. They kill his sons, and they make sure that's the last thing he sees. And then they put his eyes out, and they bind him and take him into Babylon. And in the fifth year, on the seventh day of the month, which is the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came Nebuchadnezzar, captain of the guard, a servant of the king of Babylon, into Jerusalem, and he burnt the house of the Lord, the temple, and the king's house, and all the houses of Jerusalem. Every man's house burnt he with fire. And all the army of the Chaldees that were with the captain of the guard break down the walls of Jerusalem round about. Now the rest of the people that were left in the city, and the fugitives that fell away to the king of Babylon, with the remnant of the multitude, did Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of the guard, carry away. But the captain of the guard left of the poor of the land to be vine dressers and husbandmen. We considered that last week. And the pillars of brass that were in the house of the Lord, and the bases and the brazen sea that was in the house of the Lord, did the Chaldees break in pieces, and carried the brass of them to Babylon. And the pots and the shovels and the snuffers and the spoons and all the vessels of brass wherewith they ministered took they away. They carried all these things into Babylon. And the fire pans and the bowls and such things as were of gold, in gold and silver, in silver the captain of the guard took away. The two pillars, one sea, and the bases which Solomon made for the house of the Lord, the brass of all these vessels were without weight. The height of the one pillar was 18 cubits. The chapiter upon it was brass. And the height of the chapiter, 3 cubits. And the wreath and work and the pomegranates upon the chapiter round about it, all brass likened to these, had the second pillar with wreath and work. Everything of value was taken away. And the captain of the guard took Sariah, the chief priest, and Zephaniah, the second priest, and the three keepers of the doors. And out of the city he took an officer, and there were set over them men of war, and 5 men of them that were in the king's presence, which were found in the city, and the principal scribe of the host, which mustered the people of the land, and 80 men of the people of the land that were found in the city. And Nebuchadnezzar, captain of the guard, took these and brought them to the king of Babylon, to Riblah. And the king of Babylon smote them and slew them at Riblah, in the hand of Hamath, so Judah was carried away out of their land. And as for the people that remained in the land of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had left, even over them he made Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, ruler. And when all the captains of the armies and all the men heard that the king of Babylon had made Gedaliah governor, they came to Gedaliah, to Mizpah, even Ishmael, the sons of Nephaniah and Johanan, the son of Kareth, and Sariah, the son of Tanumath, and Netophathite, and Jazaniah, the son of Micaiah, they and their men. And Gedaliah sware to them and to their men, and said unto them, fear not to be the servants of the Chaldees. Now he was a Jew. He gave them assurance, don't be afraid to serve the Chaldees. Dwell in the land and serve the king of Babylon, and it shall be well with you. But it came to pass in the seventh month that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Elishama, of the seed royal, came with 10 men and smote this Gadali who had made this promise, and he died. And the Jews and the Chaldees that were with him at Mizpah, and all the people, both small and great, and the captains of the armies, arose and came to Egypt, fleeing, for they were afraid of the Chaldees. Now here's the last story, and I think this is so amazing. I mean, that's a dark chapter, isn't it? All the horrible things that are taking place. And it came to pass in the 7th and 30th year of the captivity of Jehoiachin, king of Judah. Now, you'll remember that when he was 18 years old, he was an evil man. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. And when he was 18 years old, he surrendered. Now, 37 years later, he's been in prison 37 years. We don't know how he was treated in prison, but he'd been in prison 37 years. And look what takes place. And it came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, that Evil-Merodach, he was the son of Nebuchadnezzar, 37 years later, after this carrying into Babylon, king of Babylon, in the year that he began to reign, did lift up the head of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, out of prison. He looked at him, and he had favor toward him. He was an evil man. That's what the scripture testifies of it. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, but for some reason, out of the blue, as it were, the king looks at him with favor and brings him out of prison. And what else did he do? Verse 28, he spake kindly to him. Words of grace. Words of kindness, words of favor. And he set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon. He put him in a very high and exalted position. He'd been in prison. We don't read where he asked for anything to be done for him. There he was in prison. The king of Babylon looks at him with favor, brings him out of the prison, speaks kindly to him, and puts him in a very exalted position, a high position. Verse 29, and he changed his prison garments. He gave him a new set of clothes. All he had was these filthy prison garments. Now he's given the garments of a king. And he did eat bread continually before him all the days of his life. He was placed in a position of always in the king's presence, always with the king's blessing, being able to eat bread all the days of his life. Verse 30, and his allowance was a continual allowance. There was no interruption. It was continual. Streams of mercy never ceasing. It was a continual allowance that had no stoppage. Continual. Given him of the king a daily rate for every day, all the days of his life. Now that is the gospel as clearly as I know how to speak it. What a way for this book to end. Now, let's consider the gospel from this ending note of the book of 2 Kings. Number one, Jehoiachin was an evil man. That is why he was in prison in the first place. Look in chapter, let me find it. Verse 8 of chapter 24. And Jehoiachin was 18 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months. His mother's name was Netushtab, the daughter of Elitham of Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father had done. He was a wicked man. And the scripture points that out. And the reason he is in prison is because of his sin. Now, what this gives us some idea of is total depravity and total inability. He's in prison. He's in prison because of his sin. And he can't get out. If he could get out, he wouldn't be in prison, would he? Now, total depravity, what's that mean? Well, it's what Jehoiachin was and what you and I are. It means sinful, completely sinful. I can't even express it the way it ought to be expressed. My heart is bad. My will is chained to sin. That which I ought to hate, I love, and that which I ought to love, I hate. My mind is defiled. That's what total depravity is. What comes out of total depravity? Total inability. My inability to do anything to save myself. I'm in prison. Such was the case of Jehoiachin. And it was all his fault he was in prison. You know, he surrendered. He knew this was going to happen. It was all his fault. You can't blame your sin and your inability and your depravity on Adam. You can't blame it on your circumstances. It's all your fault. Yes, you received it through Adam, but my sin is all my fault. Just like Jehoiachin's sin was all his fault. And there he is in prison. And then, out of the blue, as it were, the king lifts up his head. He speaks with favor, and he speaks with grace toward this man, Jehoiachin, out of the blue. Now, what is that but the sovereign grace of God? I love his sovereign grace, don't you? He's a picture of the sovereign grace of God. And then the king spake kindly to him. And I look at that, and I have no doubt that this is what this is referring to. It's talking about the preaching of the gospel. You think of the kind words God speaks to his people in the preaching of the gospel. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, laboring under a burden of sin, and I will give you rest. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me I will in no wise, for no reason whatsoever, cast out. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I want you to think of the kind words of the gospel spoken to Jehoiachin. And what happened next? He put him and set him above the thrones of the kings that were with him in Babylon. In verse 28, he was given this high position. Now, what is that but the high position every believer has in Christ Jesus? What a high position. I'm seated together in the heavenlies with Christ. That's how high I am. I'm already in heaven. That's how high I am. If Christ is in heaven and I'm in him, that means I'm in heaven. And the scripture says we're seated together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. What a high place to be. And then it says he changed his garments. He had these prison garments, and they're taken away, and he's given the garments of a king. Turn with me for a moment to Revelation chapter 19. Verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted, freely given, that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Now, if you don't have a King James Version, you might read where it says the fine linen, clean and white, is the righteous deeds of the saints, or the righteous works of the saints. Do you have any works that could be described as fine linen, clean and white? Would you want any of your works to stand before God and be judged on the basis of your works? The works that you've been enabled to do by grace. Now, somebody says, well, the reason that's works is because in the original, it's in the plural. And it is in the plural, the righteousnesses of the saints. What is the righteousnesses of the saints? Well, there's the fact that Christ never did anything wrong, and he always did that which is right. That's the righteousness of the saints. And I love the way it doesn't say the righteousness of Christ imputed to the saints. It says this is the righteousness of the saints. Now, this is the garment every believer is clothed with. The very righteousness of Jesus Christ. That is my garment before God. Not my old garment, but my new garment. The righteousness of the saints. Now back to our text. He changed his prison garments. And he did eat bread continually before him all the days of his life. Now, this is talking about the believer being continually provided for in every respect all the days of their life. The Lord will provide, and he provides everything that is needed for every one of his people all the days of their life. There's no interruption. There's no time when they're cut off in any way. They're always continually provided for. Verse 30, and his allowance was a continual allowance, given him of the king a daily rate for every day, all the days of his life. That is the promise to every believer, the continual grace of God. Now, all of this while he was still in the land of captivity. Don't miss that. He hadn't been brought back to Judah yet. He was still in Babylon while he had been given all this. Remember this, we have this treasure of the gospel, this treasure of his grace in earthen vessels right now. We have this continual allowance, the continual love. We have this glorious garment, but we're still in the flesh. We're still sinful men and women saved by the grace of God. Now let me show you the Chronicles account of the end of the Babylonian captivity. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 22. Now this was in the middle of the captivity, 37 years. And this is the end of the captivity. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia. Cyrus was Darius. He's the one who threw Daniel in the lion's den. That's who this is. Now, turn with me for a moment to Isaiah 44. Hold your finger there. Isaiah 44. Verse 28. This is God speaking that saith of Cyrus, and this was written 200 years before any of this took place. That saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple, thy foundation shall be laid. Thus saith the Lord, to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I've holden, to subdue nations before him. He was the most powerful man in the world. And I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two lead gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I'll break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I'll give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest knowest that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake and Israel mine elect, I've even called thee by thy name. I've surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. Now he's speaking of Cyrus. He is the one that God has determined is going to deliver Judah back out of bondage. Now look back in 2 Chronicles. That were, like I said, that was written 200 years before this took place. And I can't help but wonder if somebody came up to Cyrus and said, you know, the Lord said this about you. in the scriptures. As a matter of fact, I believe that probably took place. But let's go on reading. Verse 22. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia. Don't you love thinking about that? The king's heart's in the hand of the Lord. Your heart is in the hand of the Lord. My heart is in the hand of the Lord. I love that. That's why I don't despair of myself or anybody else, as long as salvation is by his sovereign grace. He stirred up the heart of Cyrus, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, "Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord God of heaven given me." He knew who God was. You see, he learned who he was through Daniel. You remember Daniel being thrown in the lion's den and him saying, "Is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee?" And Daniel comes out and he finds out who God is. And he says, "The Lord God of heaven hath given me, he hath charged me to build him an house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all the people? The Lord his God be with him, and let him go up." And that's when the people were delivered from the captivity and got to go back to Jerusalem. You can read about that in Ezra and Nehemiah and rebuild the temple. But what a glorious picture of the gospel. At the end of this dark chapter, we have the light of the gospel.